You're listening to The David Knight Show. Using free speech to free minds. It's The David Knight Show.
It's Monday, December the 16th, 2019. I'm David Knight, your host, and I'm back. Thank you so much to Harrison Smith and to Tony Arterburn for filling in last week. Both of them did a great job. As a matter of fact, I was amazed because Tony is from San Antonio. I was amazed to hear that there is a movement to take down the monument to the defenders of the Alamo who were slaughtered by a tyrant, Santa Anna. And he went on to do that at Goliad. And as a matter of fact, he had done that before he became whatever he was, emperor, president, whatever title he gave himself, grand poobah, who cares? The guy was a murdering tyrant, and everybody knew it. And every one of the provinces of Mexico, after he became leader, seceded. Some of them acquiesced after he threatened them. A few of them fought back. Only one won its independence, and that was Texas, Tejas. But he was a tyrant, no doubt about it. As a matter of fact, the reason they all said they were going to secede from Mexico, from Santa Anna, was because he had a history of executing anybody who resisted him, who surrendered. I mean, he had made his name for himself by slaughtering people. And so, you're going to erect a statue to this guy? Absolutely amazing. I mean, I can understand if you're going to try to focus on one woman that perhaps was part of the story, or maybe a woman of color, and you tear down the monument to all the men who died fighting this tyranny and put up a monument to that one woman, which is what they're doing with Sacagawea and the Lewis and Clark expedition back in Virginia. They elevate her contribution as a translator. She joined the expedition well over a year into the expedition. She was a translator for a couple of issues, and they elevate it to the position of leadership, exclusive to everything else that was done by Lewis and Clark. She didn't plan the expedition. She didn't lead the expedition. She wasn't even a part of it for half of the time. But she is going to be the only one they're going to do a statue to. They were upset about the fact that she was part of the Lewis and Clark statue behind them setting down. I don't think she even deserved to have that, quite frankly. So I can imagine if they would do something like that at the Alamo. But it's going to be even worse. They're going to erect if they get their way. And they probably will, because George P. Bush is now the one in charge of that. And I'm sure that he's going to see that he can pander to the radical left doing that. But they want to erect a statue to the bad Santa. Maybe they could do it by Christmas time, right? The bad Santa, Santa Anna. No. Tyranny does not deserve statues, except in 21st century America. Absolutely amazing. I said to my son when he told me about that, I said, it's like Back to the Future. You know, here I am. I find myself 30 years in the future. This is far worse than if Biff became president. What they're doing to us is far worse than that. Today, we're going to take a look at the sycophant media and the many lies that are now surfacing about them. And I'm going to really focus on not only what has happened and come out in the last week about the FBI and about the media, but also what they're trying to do to Clint Eastwood's expose about that, Richard Jewell. And we see the same people doing the same things they did 23 years ago to Richard Jewell. They're doing it now to President Trump. They're doing it to everybody. That's what's really behind all of this. We've seen it all before. We've seen them do this to Gary Webb, Dark Alliance. You expose their crimes, and they will do everything to take down and to assassinate your character and your work It happened here at InfoWars, too, didn't it? We'll be right back. Stay with us. Money!
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, The David Knight Show.
It's Monday, December 16th, year of our Lord, 2019. I'm David Knight, your host. It's good to be back here, and I really do appreciate Harrison Smith filling in 4 days last week, Tony Arbuton filling in for 1 day last week. They did a great job, but it's good to be back here. And as I look at the press today, I really want to talk about what is happening in terms of the lies that have been exposed about the media. But let's begin with the emperor's new clothing rank that we see and how compliant, how sycophantic the media is. We have the British Gentleman's Quarterly, GQ, has a 10 worst dressed list. And they put a couple of emperors on there. They had China's President Xi on there. They had Thailand's King on their worst dressed list. And they were joined by people like Boris Johnson's chief advisor. They would say things like, why is Boris Johnson's political disruptor dressed like an unlicensed cab driver? Because he's always wearing a tracksuit. They would also have Mark Zuckerberg on there. Android chic is not a vibe. Or President Trump. A sad and sorry perennial fixture, they said. Tory frontbencher Jacob Rees-Mogg. A haunted pencil. Whatever. It's okay to criticize these people, but don't criticize China's president. Don't criticize the king of Thailand. Don't say that these emperors have bad clothes. And they don't. This is a common theme that we've seen over the last week. The sycophant press doing exactly what their government minders want them to do. It's okay to make fun of the appearance of leaders in the West. It's okay to try to overturn elections. But don't mess with China. Don't mess with them at all. And we understand why they're doing that. You know, basically, their top 10 list became a top 8 list because they pull them off. They just cave to it. And we see why. When you look at what China does to anybody that criticizes them, we saw it with the NBA, punishments. You know, we're going to remove your TV contracts. Go straight to the money. It's all about the money. Pay to play. And we're going to be talking about that when we take a look at what's happening with Fox News, what has been happening with CNN and these other people, how they have become government agencies. It's now openly done. I've talked about the creation of social media, how the CIA openly created a venture capital firm. They called it InQtel, to fund the people who were going to be used by them to control the internet so that the CIA could have plausible deniability. They became the velvet glove, but make no mistake about it. The deep state, the military-industrial complex, the intelligence community, whatever you want to call it, they are the iron fist that are controlling the social media censorship that we have out there. And when you look at how these people operate, they are simply there for the money. And they will do whatever the people who fund them tell them to do, whether it's the CIA or whether it's the Chinese government. China is very upfront about it. It's gotten more and more obvious, as Glenn Greenwald wrote over the weekend, when you look at the report coming from the Inspector General talking about the lies of the FBI. As I've pointed out many times, and as Greenwald points out again in his piece, this is not something that just happened. You'll hear that from conservative commentators like Rush Limbaugh. Well, we've never had this before. The FBI has always been stellar. It's like, no, they haven't. No, they haven't. You go back and look at COINTELPRO. You look at what they've done to people like Ross Ulbricht, the Silk Road case, what they did to the Bundys, what they continue to try to do to Matt Shea, who made public the internal whistleblowers document from the Bureau of Land Management, the BLM, when you had somebody in the BLM as a whistleblower say they're lying about this. The Department of Justice, the FBI, the BLM are lying about this. It's very dangerous. I don't want to be a part of this. When you have somebody expose what whistleblowers are saying, then they're coming after Matt Shea now. International organizations, press organizations, are attack dogs coming after Matt Shea. You got The Guardian. You got the L.A. Times. L.A. Times was after Gary Webb, the Dark Alliance. Remember when Gary Webb did an excellent award-winning piece exposing how the American government under Reagan had been funding their dirty war, not just with Iran-Contra, but with the crack cocaine epidemic that they engineered. And they ran it through Freeway Ricky Ross. And he exposed all of that in Dark Alliance. And they created a group of people at the L.A. Times. They had a team of reporters at the L.A. Times set up to assassinate his character. And I think this is quite frankly what's going on right now with this Clint Eastwood film. It is at the juncture. There is no film that is more timely, more on point than Clint Eastwood. And they have absolutely trashed it over some social justice warrior trivia that's there. Tell me when they've ever complained about a movie adding some details to characters' lives that are not true so they can have a romantic involvement. And the movies always do that, you know, based on a true story. His story is truer than virtually anything that comes out of Hollywood, and it's more timely, and it's more to the point, and that's why they're attacking it. Now, we're going to talk about that, but just look again at what China did, not just putting pressure on the British GQ to pull President Xi from the worst dress list. This is a guy who is so conscious of his image that when one political cartoon went up showing him walking along with Barack Obama, who was taller and thinner and he was shorter and heavier, and so somebody juxtaposed that with a picture of Winnie the Pooh walking with Tigger. And, of course, the Winnie the Pooh reference was to Xi. He got so upset about that, he banned Winnie the Pooh. And you have anybody who talks about the way Muslims are being treated, because, you know, nobody cares what the Chinese government does to Christians and has been doing to Christians for decades, or what they've been doing to the Falun Gong, for example. It's not just because I'm a Christian that I'm upset about this. We ought to be upset about what they're doing to the Muslims, but that's the only group that anybody ever complains about the treatment from these Chinese dictators. They never complain about how they have done exactly the same stuff. Yeah, there's that picture there of that's how sensitive he is. So you can imagine that he was going to go to war with the British GQ over saying that he was worse dressed. I mean, you know, I mean, they're with Winnie the Pooh. Putting him there as Winnie the Pooh, he's not even wearing pants, right? So I don't know. But they've now done it again. You've got a soccer player, that's what we call him in the U.S., British football player. Arsenal is one of the teams. And after one of the players, who is, I believe, a Muslim, after he criticized what Beijing was doing to the Muslims, they basically pulled all coverage of that particular team's games from being aired in China. And the team just groveled before him, just like British GQ, when he said, I don't want to be on the worst dress list. We talk about saving face. I saw this picture of Hillary Clinton that was featured on the Drudge Report while I was on vacation. Could not believe it. Of course, Gateway Pundit has run this as a story here. Pull up that picture of Hillary Clinton. Not even recognizable. Look at that. Look at those giant, smooth, bulgy, sagging cheeks. She doesn't have bags under her eyes anymore. Now her entire face is sagging like the bags under her eyes. I don't know. I thought I would tweet that out, and I thought, well, probably shouldn't put that out on Twitter. I'll save the ad hominem attacks for my radio show. But I don't know. Is that Hillary Clinton, and has she filed a lawsuit against her plastic surgeon yet? Or is he on suicide watch? We'll be right back. Stay with us. We're going to talk about what's coming up in terms of Clint Eastwood's program. I'm going to break this down and how this is the essence of what we've seen over the last week.
USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA. America's the greatest land of all. On a highway or a road.
Yeah, that's right. We haven't picked up a new sponsor. Chevy is not sponsoring this broadcast, but I just put that out because it just shows how much America has changed to go from that kind of a marketing. You know, they're going to sell essentially freedom, right? Freedom and cars, they go together. Private ownership of cars, that goes together as well. But now we've got a situation where now even talking about the great movie Ford versus Ferrari, which unfortunately I haven't seen it yet, but everybody's saying it's great. I'm going to see it before it gets out of the theaters. I'm going to see also the Richard Jewell film. Anxious to see that as well. And that may be leaving even sooner for political reasons. And we'll talk about that coming up here. But when we talk about Ford versus Ferrari, there's a op-ed piece on the Daily Caller by a writer, Douglas McKinnon. And he's got some quotes from some progressive sites attacking it, saying Ford versus Ferrari is the climate change horror film that nobody needed. Said it is laced with xenophobia as well as white masculinity. Xenophobia. You know, because we got Ford versus the Italian car company Ferrari. Xenophobia. Fear of strangers. Let me tell you. It's an amazing story because it's about competition and excellence. Something the progressives don't get. Something they hate. They understand it. They just hate it. And, you know, Enzo Ferrari basically lived to race. That was everything he was about. He built the cars that he sold on the streets simply so he could finance his racing. And he was dominant in Le Mans. And you had kind of a personal vendetta there from Henry Ford II, who wanted to buy Ferrari. And he rejected it. And so he figured he would make a point out of that. But more than that, it's about the story of Carroll Shelby, the guy who gave us the Cobra, the Shelby Mustang, other things like that. They were legendary. Also, the English race car driver, Ken Miles, that most people don't know about. So it's really the story, their story, and how they successfully competed against him. And yet, you've got the progressive side saying, this is climate change horror film. Why? Because it's got people driving cars that give them freedom. Freedom like we used to embrace here in America. You know, when you look at that commercial there, Dinah Shore singing, see the USA in a Chevrolet. It wasn't just about traveling on vacation with the newly created interstate. We can't do infrastructure here in America. They don't want to do infrastructure. It isn't that they can't manage to do it. Our government has become so bloated, so corrupt, that they can't build anything without it costing tens of billions of dollars. Just a small project. There's no way we could ever build the kind of infrastructure that they built in the 50s with the interstate. The government is just too corrupt, and they don't have the will either. I've mentioned before how I was driving home one day, flipping through radio stations to see what people were talking about on the news. Top of the hour, I hear a radio station out of San Antonio saying, no, we can't build any more lanes. We're not going to build any more lanes on the roads. Our stakeholders are telling us we've got to get the people out of the cars. Well, they've been saying that for a very long time, but now they're openly bragging about that and actively working to make that happen. For most of my adult life, I've heard the city planners, the urban planners, and by the way, Lyft, the CEO of Lyft is a guy who, by training, was an urban planner. And one day I'm going to go into this a bit more detail. But I read his paper, and everything in the paper was essentially saying that cities are the best invention of mankind, and that automobiles are the worst invention of mankind. And I just got to say, nobody has liked living in cities since the time of Thomas Jefferson. He said they were a threat to the health, the wealth, and the liberty of man. And it was only with the advent of the automobile that we just heard, you know, Dinah Shore singing about, that and the suburbs like Lovettown, Long Island, one of the first planned suburbs. That, along with the automobile and along with VA funding, allowed people to escape the cities. They could still go there for work, but they could escape it for a little while. And the car was essential to that. And these people don't want you escaping their control, because the cities are how they control you. That's why these people think it's so great. And so they go on to say another one. A Bloomberg author criticized Fox versus Ferrari. Said, "This is a devastating picture of the lack of diversity that permeated the automobile industry in the 1960s. When I say men, I mean white, straight men. Ford versus Ferrari shows a generation best left dead and gone." That's right. That's why they're killing private transportation. And when I say private, I mean it not only in the sense of ownership, but in the sense that you'll be able to travel privately, anonymously, without being tracked. They hate anything that is private. Any kind of communication, any kind of ownership, you must rent everything from them. You must be tracked by them. But see, these people at Bloomberg, they hate it because white, straight men. See, this isn't about sex, but they make it about sex and sexual orientation. Because, you know, every movie for these guys should be about sexual orientation. That's what they're doing to all the Disney franchises. You know, Disney goes out and buys up all these franchises like Star Wars and Marvel and so forth. And they make it all about the LGBT agenda. And there's no LGBT agenda in Ford versus Ferrari. What's the matter with these people? Well, they wanted to tell a true story. And again, they wanted to talk about competition and excellence. And so as Douglas McKinnon writes, "So in other words, human beings who, with no say in the matter, happened to be born white men who fought in World War II and grew to love cars, racing, and business are best left dead and gone. But as recorded by history, they were white men. And we make no apology for that." And then we look at what the comics are doing. Frank Miller, the guy who did the Dark Knight series, he's now got another one, Dark Knight Returns. And so he's using entertainment and culture to push a political agenda, just as these other people are doing. So he's got the Joker, who is helping a President Trump-like character get reelected. Now, they don't refer to him as President Trump, but you can see there from the pictures that that character looks exactly. Scroll down and show the comic book pictures. We got this up at Infowars.com. Batman Nemesis, the Joker, helps Trump get reelected in a new comic. The two villains are seen helping a man resembling the president's physique into the Oval Office. The Trump character also repeats some of Donald Trump's most popular phrases. A jacket worn by the Joker has a U.S. flag and sports the words, "I really don't care, do you?" on the back, mocking a similar jacket that was worn by Melania Trump. You can see the pictures of that on Infowars.com. When we come back, we're going to talk about how, actually, it's Richard Jewell Part 2, isn't it? 23 years later, we've got a sequel, and the media and the government's part of this as well, are doing the exact same thing. They're doing it to Clint Eastwood now, what they did to Richard Jewell.
Move me on to any black square. Use me any time you want. Just remember that the goal is for us all to capture all we want.
Liberty. It's your move. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
You know, we look at the movie Richard Jewell, done by Clint Eastwood, and I'm sure it's an excellent movie. It's gotten great critical reviews. Critics are still saying, "I can't believe this. It's actually been destroyed by this kind of slander coming from the Atlanta Urinal and Constipation," which is what we always called them in North Carolina. But, of course, they're trying to defend their shoddy reputation, their well-earned shoddy reputation, where they tried to slander and destroy Richard Jewell, along with the FBI. And now we have Part 2. You know, first they did it to the real person, Richard Jewell, and now they're doing it to the movie about the slander. Now they're slandering in the same way, undermining the movie about how they slandered the individual 23 years later. It posted just under $5 million, which is about half of what they had projected for it to do. You know, it wasn't going to be a giant, big box office film because, you know, it didn't have a lot of car crashes and fantasy aspects to it. It was a serious topic. But it was so serious and so on topic that it was necessary for these people to destroy it. So we see Hollywood Reporter saying Richard Jewell falls flat with $5 million, the second worst nationwide opening of a Clint Eastwood directing career, the worst in nearly four decades. You know, when I went to find where it was yesterday, I was going to go see it yesterday when I got back, but some other family things came up. But when I went to look to see where it was playing, what theaters it was playing on Flixster, they actually had it buried. You know, what they'll show is opening new this week. And they had three movies that were featured up there. And one of those movies, they desperately wanted to bury Richard Jewell so badly that one of those movies didn't even have any reviews because it was just kind of a little art house film. So I clicked on it. It says, see more. So I clicked on that. Still didn't see it. Oh, there it is. The third line down. Nine movies down they listed as premiering this week, Richard Jewell. That's how badly they want to bury this film. As a matter of fact, down there, kind of running alongside of it, was a slasher remake called Black Christmas. Can you imagine? A serious, very important movie that shows media bias, a dishonest FBI, everything that we saw this last week in the Inspector General report, and how this has been going on for decades. This isn't anything new. This isn't anything about President Trump. This has been going on for decades. Totally buried. The true story of how Jewell's life was ruined by local law enforcement, the FBI, and the media. And, of course, the Atlanta Journal and Constitution. That's what they call themselves. Again, we call them the urinal and constipation because that's exactly what they're conducting a war against the movie just like they did Richard Jewell himself. Roger Friedman says, in the meantime, as he looks at this, he said, go see Richard Jewell. As I said, when I saw it, it's a jewel of a film and one of Eastwood's best. And I would say probably his most timely films. As you've got New American talking about it, they say a powerful case against big government and big media. Rather than playing the needed watchdog role of the government, one media outlet after another, mostly joined with the FBI, running multiple stories that Jewell was the likely culprit. And they point out how this is portrayed in the movie and how it happened in real life. In real life, the FBI put together a scenario, a lone wolf profile. And they said, oh, you know, we've seen this happen recently. We saw this in the 1984 Los Angeles Olympics. And so they said, well, I think this is probably going to be the same thing. So they jumped to a conclusion at the FBI. They got a foregone conclusion. I think it's probably a lone wolf bomber, probably a white male, somebody who owns guns, all this kind of stuff. Oh, yeah, here's the guy. He fits that profile. I'm looking for this type of person, and he fits that profile. Forget the facts. We'll make up the facts as we go along. So that's what the FBI does now. And it's what they've been doing for more than 23 years. And so they decided that they will set him up. They work with the Atlanta Journal and Constitution as part of that setup. NBC News, all the other people joined in with that. The FBI agents even tried to convince him to sign a form to waiver his constitutionally protected rights with a lie that he was part of a training film about bomb detection. Oh, where have we seen that before? Where the FBI lies to people, you know, like they did with General Flynn and so forth. Hey, yeah, I just want to talk to you a little bit, you know, not knowing that it is somehow an official deposition. And then trying to construe what he had to say as being factually incorrect. Therefore, he was lying to the FBI, something they take more seriously than Congress takes people committing perjury, if those people committing perjury are people like James Clapper or John Brennan committing perjury, never do anything to them. They'll try to set up somebody like Roger Stone or somebody like General Flynn and try to lock them up for the rest of their life, try to destroy their life, just as they did Richard Jewell. This is why these people are working so hard to shut this film down, because you can see the entire story unfold and see the eventual vindication of it. So they tried to get him to sign that. He says, this is a real document. I don't think I'd feel comfortable signing something like this in the movie. Then he calls his lawyer friend. His lawyer friend, who earlier in the film had denounced the mistreatment of small business owners by the Small Business Association that he worked for, is a libertarian. And as the story in New American points out, no comment is ever made directly about his political beliefs, but on his wall are posters of the Bill of Rights and a simple statement, "I fear government more than I fear terrorists." So we know where this guy's coming from. Probably a listener. Still, Bryant is somewhat reluctant to take the case until his assistant, Nadia, it sounds like she's coming from an Eastern European country, maybe one that was under communism. Her accent indicates that she has. Bluntly tells him, in the country I come from, if the government says you're guilty, you're actually innocent. Well, I'm sorry, but that's also the country that I live in now. That's what America has become. We can pretty much guess that if the government is trying to hang you, you are probably innocent. You're probably the whistleblower, as a matter of fact. No, not the whistleblower, that they're, Eric CIA Ramella, Chiramella, not that whistleblower, but any other whistleblower. You're probably the one that is the enemy of the state. Finally, as I point out in this article, Richard Jewell tells his tormentors, "I used to think federal law enforcement was the highest calling. I don't think that anymore." Do you understand now why this campaign has been orchestrated throughout the media and social media to try to push back against Clint Eastwood in this film? As I mentioned at the beginning of the program, they did the same thing to Gary Webb when he exposed how the CIA was funding its dirty wars, its illegal wars in Central America, with not just the Iran-Contra, not just selling parts to our supposedly arch-enemy Iran, but also creating a crack cocaine epidemic and running that through Freeway Ricky Ross. When Gary Webb exposed that in Dark Alliance, first he won an award, and then the government came in and got the LA Times to start attacking him personally, like they're doing Clint Eastwood in this movie now. And they thoroughly discredited him, destroyed his life, and whether he committed suicide, or as many of us believe, he was ultimately killed, because he talked to Alex Jones just before he died. And he was making a comeback, and he was very upbeat, like many of the people that Alex has talked to, who subsequently died shortly after that. But yeah, they're trying to demonize and destroy Clint Eastwood, and especially this movie. An orchestrated campaign to protect the reputation of the media and the FBI. We'll be right back. On the first day of Christmas, yes, we have our 12 Days of Christmas sale that started right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Actually, we're on the eighth day. And we have something better than eight Lords of Leaping. We have 60% off Turbo Force. With a long list of powerful, time-tested ingredients, Turbo Force will soon be your number one go-to source for quick, accessible energy. Take a look at the products that we've got at InfoWars. Again, this is the eighth day. Every day we're bringing you another sale, deeply discounted items, typically 60% off. And we've got now Turbo Force joining others that we have put on. We've had 60% off BrainForce Plus, and you can still get that 60% off at InfoWarsStore.com. 60% off Knockout, our all-natural sleep aid. 60% off Bod Ease, our all-natural anti-inflammatory. 60% off Ultra 12, that's our vitamin B12. It's a great way to take a B12 supplement. You don't have to get an injection. It's a great tasting You just take an eyedropper full of it. Ultra 12, our vitamin B12, 60% off. Our BioTrue Selenium, 60% off. You know that selenium is very, very important for your health. The only question is, are you going to get a good source of selenium? Well, our BioTrue Selenium is non-GMO, totally organic. You can get that 60% off right now as part of our 12 days of Christmas. And again, we're now on our eighth day. We have 60% off Turbo Force. We also have up to 50% off all apparel. So take a look at InfoWarsStore.com. We got free shipping store-wide. We got double Patriot points. When you are doing your Christmas shopping, please consider InfoWars. You can fight for your freedom. You can do something to improve your health, and you can support us at the same time. Again, InfoWarsStore.com, free shipping, double Patriot points, many items, 50 to 60% off. We have 50% off all apparel, 60% off many items, and joining the 12 days of Christmas sale today is 60% off Turbo Force. And you're probably going to need some extra energy for the holidays as well. All right, we were talking about Richard Jewell and the campaign to take down the Clint Eastwood movie about, guess what? A dishonest media working in cooperation with a dishonest FBI. Now, what could be more topical? What could be more timely? What could be more attacked than a movie like that? As Glenn Greenwald pointed out in The Intercept, and you can see this on the Drudge Report, just as it was true when the Mueller investigation closed without a single American being charged with criminally conspiring with Russia over the 2016 election, on Wednesday we saw the long-awaited, this thing is that we've been hearing that it was going to be released any time now. We're going to get the Inspector General report. And finally, we got it. Yes, the Inspector General. With information, vegetable, animal, and mineral. It is a very model of a modern Inspector General. But, of course, you got a lot of dodging in that Inspector General report. You have to read between the lines and get past all of the fluffy language to try to cover up the crimes. I'll put a fine point on it. You were lied to by the FBI. You were lied to by the media. And that's what Glenn Greenwald is saying. He said the IG report on the FBI's spying reveals a scandal of historic magnitude, not only for the FBI, but also for the U.S. media. And again, this is exactly what the story is about Richard Jewell. It's important to understand that this is not something where they've just gone off the rails. This is a pattern of behavior that goes back to the creation of the FBI. It goes back to the character of J. Edgar Hoover. As Glenn Greenwald points out in this article, they still operate out of a building that has J. Edgar Hoover's name on it. Yeah, it was Clint Eastwood who also did a movie about J. Edgar Hoover. And he handled it with kid gloves as well. He could have done a lot more to expose J. Edgar Hoover. But as Glenn Greenwald points out, the IG report reveals that years of major claims, because this has been going on for years now, and narratives, were utterly fraudulent. The FBI's gross abuse of its power, its serial deceit, is so grave and manifest that it requires little effort to demonstrate it. In sum, the IG report documents multiple instances in which the FBI manipulated documents, concealed crucial exonerating evidence, touted what it knew were unreliable, if not outright false claims. I have talked about this in case after case after case, not just in the orbit of President Trump, not just when we're talking about General Flynn or Roger Stone or people like that, but I've talked about it in connection with Ross Ulbricht and the Silk Road case, how the corrupt, crooked, lying Department of Justice and the FBI frame people because they want to set up an example or because they want to solve a case, like we see with the Richard Jewell situation. We saw this with Ross Ulbricht. We saw it with the Bundy case. As a matter of fact, 2 weeks ago, I talked to Matt Shea because he's now being framed by these very people. They're coming after him as payback because he publicized the whistleblower that worked with the Bureau of Land Management, talking about the criminal actions that were being done and how they were concealing exculpatory evidence, evidence that would show the Bundys were telling the truth, that they were innocent. They concealed that. They lied to the judge. The judge was a part of it. She finally backed down when this whistleblower's information was released, and it was Matt Shea who helped to break that. So they're coming after him now, just like Julian Assange. If you're a whistleblower, if you are a journalist, if you release this as a politician who is honest, well, they'll come after all three of those types of people. You know, we have, going back to Truman, he said it, in the 1940s, he's saying, the FBI is trending towards a Gestapo. And this is a guy who created the NSA with an executive order. Go figure. You had the FBI and its COINTEL programs. But of course, the public face of the FBI was the FBI with Ephraim Zimbalist Jr., right? And that was pushed by J. Edgar Hoover himself. He helped to produce that. It was a propaganda piece. Glenn Greenwald goes on to say, if you don't consider the FBI lying, concealing evidence, manipulating documents in order to spy on a U.S. citizen in the middle of a presidential campaign to be a major scandal, then what is? What is a major scandal? Is there anything that can shock you and outrage you? He says, the out-of-control, virtually unlimited police state factions that lie, abuse their spying and their law enforcement powers, and subvert democracy and civil and political freedoms as a matter of course. And he talks about with the IG report how Carter Page, it was pushed that he was a criminal agent. It was widely disseminated throughout the media, just like the FBI did with Richard Jewell, right? It was asserted as a fact, even though it had absolutely no evidence. As a result of the media narrative, the Mueller investigation examined these widespread accusations, yet concluded that the investigation did not establish that Page coordinated with the Russian government. The IG report went much further, documenting a multitude of lies and misrepresentations by the FBI to deceive the FISA court into believing that probable cause existed to believe that Page was a Kremlin agent. And this is what it says in the IG report. It found that the FBI personnel fell far short of the requirement of FBI policy that they ensure that all factual statements are scrupulously accurate. Now, think about that. Why can't he just say they lied? This is the kind of mistakes were made. They fell far short of the requirement that they have to be scrupulously accurate. They fell far short of being scrupulously accurate. And then specifically goes on to say, we identified multiple instances in which factual assertions relied upon in the first FISA application were inaccurate, incomplete, or unsupported by appropriate documentation based upon information the FBI had in its possession at the time the application was filed. So think about this. The FBI has the information in their hands. They know better. That's documented, as the Inspector General says. So the FBI has documented that they knew that what they were putting out was inaccurate. They knew that it was incomplete. They knew that it was unsupported by documentation. You know, when you take an oath, what do you say? I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. See, when you put out stuff that is inaccurate and you know that it's inaccurate, you're not telling the truth, right? When you put out incomplete information, you're not telling the whole truth. So the question is, what's going to be done to the FBI? Well, you and I both know nothing will be done to them. Because the biggest outrage of what President Trump has done so far was to fire Crooked Comey, because these people in the deep state are supposed to be there for lifetime employment. Even Andrew McCabe, who everybody else in the FBI said this guy's a crook. Even firing him was supposedly an outrage. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Making sense common again. You're listening to the David Knight Show.
If it doesn't bother you to learn that the FBI repeatedly, deliberately deceived the FISA court into granting it permission to spy on a U.S. citizen in the middle of a presidential election, then it is virtually certain that you're either someone with no principles, someone who cares only about partisan advantage and nothing about basic civil liberties and the rule of law, or both, or both. That's Glenn Greenwald talking about what came out of the IG report the middle of last week. And I got to say, you know, when I look at the news, I looked at the news a little bit when I was on vacation somewhere where we had cable. I don't typically watch Fox News, but I saw a Fox report, somebody that I kind of indirectly know, the son of a high school friend of my wife, and he's on Fox on a regular basis. Name is Chris Hahn. He has a podcast now called The Aggressive Progressive, and he is very aggressive. And he is exactly what Glenn Greenwald is describing here. Somebody with no principles, somebody who cares only about partisan advantage and nothing about liberty, nothing about the rule of law. The kind of commentary that we now get, and of course, you know, they had him debating some guy on a radio program, but absolutely the one of the worst examples I've ever seen of somebody who is just a partisan hack. Just a partisan hack. Just lie through his teeth. Except unless we're counting James Clapper and John Brennan, who are now paid commentators to do that type of thing. Ever since Trump's inauguration, a handful of commentators and journalists, and Glenn Greenwald says, I'm included among them, and I will say I am too. All of us here at InfoWars have been sounding the alarm about the highly dangerous trend of news outlets not merely to repeat the mistake of the Iraq War by blindly relying on the claims of the security state agents, but far worse, now employing them in their newsrooms to shape the news. As Politico's media writer Jack Schaefer wrote in 2018, the article was titled, The Spies Who Came Into the TV Studio. Look, a lot of these people who are now talking about this would poo-poo all of the information that had been released about Operation Mockingbird. This has been going on since the 1960s. The government has been spying illegally on American citizens since the 1960s. As soon as the NSA was created by Harry Truman and the CIA, right after World War II, these were created, they began spying on American citizens on our phone calls. That's why we have the FISA court, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. That was created as part of the investigation by the Church Committee hearing in the Senate and the Pike Committee hearing in Congress. And if you go back and look at that, the arrogance of the NSA at that point in time, they would not even show the executive order that created them to Congressman Pike, who was running that hearing. I'm not showing that to you. You know, they used to say NSA stood for no such agency. That's the way they ran things for a very long time. Now, it's completely reversed. Now, they're proud of the fact that they're spying on you. It's in your face. That's really what the Snowden release was about, to put it in your face, to normalize it, to get into that Overton window and to say, yeah, that's right, we're spying on you. What are you going to do about it? And you haven't done anything. Here we are, 6 years after all these documents were dumped and nobody's done anything about it. Nobody in the Republican Party, nobody in the Democrat Party. The only person even talking about doing something about it is Rand Paul. Everybody else is just fine with it. They want you to get accustomed to this. This is the new normal. Yes, you're being surveilled by your masters, and it's going to get a lot worse. We haven't done anything about this, and they're taking it to the next level. That's what they're going to do with the smart cities, with 5G and so forth. They're taking it to the next level. They just wanted you to get accustomed to that. And as you sit there and think about, you know, well, look, this is pretty creepy what they're doing here, and Operation Mockingbird has been feeding information to the press, writing the news for them a long time, and now they just cut out the middleman. They just go ahead and put James Clapper and John Brennan on directly. And that's what Glenn Greenwald is talking about. What a charade this has become. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. I was just looking at this Glenn Greenwald article talking about how As bad as the FBI looks in this Inspector General report, and again, the IG is a politician, he's a bureaucrat, he wants a career in Washington, so he kind of soft sells this. He doesn't want to just come out and say, the FBI, that should be FIB, they're just lying to you, the fibbers. He doesn't want to put that fine a point on it, so he says, well, they were less than scrupulously honest. Look, if you've got information about this event and you tell people exactly the opposite, that's what the rest of us would call a lie. Now, nobody in Washington wants to come out and call it what it is. It's like we began the program, you know, talking about the Emperor's New Clothes, how you got the British GQ talking about how poorly dressed the King of Thailand, a notorious tyrant, and President Xi in China, another notorious tyrant, put them on their 10 worst dressed list, and immediately, you know, they get a call. You better get them off of there. These guys will come after us. Take them off the list. So now the 10 worst dressed people is now only the 8 worst dressed people. But this kind of subservient media has not only caved to pressure, but they've been active partners in selling false narratives to us. And they've been doing this since their creation. Again, Operation Mockingbird, like, oh, that's just a conspiracy theory. No, it's a conspiracy fact that they were feeding this narrative to the various news broadcasters. As I've talked about many times, in the late 1990s, the CIA got a little bit more bold about it. They came out of the closet to a large degree at that point in time. You know, they'd always called themselves the company. Well, they started funding companies. They created Incutel, a venture capital firm, to fund so-called private, so-called companies to make sure that these Silicon Six, these people who now control the internet, would be people that they could work with and that they could then have plausible deniability. Now, when we look at what's going on, as Glenn Greenwald points out, the downside of outsourcing national security coverage to TV spies is obvious. They aren't in the business of breaking news or uncovering secrets. Their first loyalty is to the agency from which they hail. As a matter of fact, that's in his article, but he's quoting from Politico's media writer, Jack Schaefer. The article was "The Spies Who Came Into the TV Studio." So what he's pointing out is they're not news people. They're propagandists, and they're putting them in the news programs, but they've always been there. That's what we call them, the Mockingbird Press. You know, we have a good example of this is not just the really obvious ones, you know, like James Clapper and John Brennan, who become talking head commentators all the time, spewing their lies on television, getting paid to do it. But we have other people like Catherine Herridge, who used to work for Fox. I remember watching her. She was always Fox's intelligence reporter. And I remember seeing her one time. She was talking about the threat of cybersecurity and how we got to do more to take over the infrastructure and the internet, how the government's got to do more about that. And of course, pushing that narrative is what's behind establishing Election Guard. You know, you've got DARPA funding a tiny little company with $10 million grant. Their only funding is coming from DARPA. Now, this is a company that is a wholly owned subsidiary of Microsoft, but it's being funded directly by DARPA. Why? Because they say, well, we've got to guard the elections from being hacked. Again, they very subtly lay the foundation over a very long period of time. They lay a foundation, a narrative of lies. Well, the election was hacked. No, we're not saying that any votes were changed. We're not saying that the Russians got into the voting machines. No, 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 not hacked that way. No, it's just $100,000 worth of ads run on Facebook. That's what we're talking about when we say hacking. But of course, they knew, because they use the term hacked, that has a very specific meaning in people's minds. When you say hacked, people understand that that's some kind of a cybersecurity issue. And so they put that out there and then immediately walk it back. No, 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 no. We're just insinuating that. And then they did it themselves. You know, you had the Department of Homeland Security hack into several state boards of elections. And then DARPA funds Election Guard via Microsoft. Why? Because they want to be able to literally hack the election. That's the way these people work. And Catherine Herridge was part of that when she's working at Fox News, you know, trying to build up fear, uncertainty, and doubt about cybersecurity. And so she puts out this narrative, oh, yeah, this is very dangerous. You know, we see how infrastructure is being hacked. Look at the Stuxnet situation in Iran. Now, Stuxnet was a hack that was performed by American and Israeli intelligence. They put a worm, not a virus, but I don't remember. Either worm or virus, Stuxnet was. But they basically injected it into the computers that were part of Iran's nuclear research program and basically just destroyed their data structure. It was cyber warfare. But it was American and Israeli cyber warfare. And Catherine Herridge is selling this as if that was something that happened to us. So we got to protect against that. And she was richly rewarded by Fox News, and now, you know, she wanted even more money, so she's gone somewhere else to sell her lies. You know, it had people like Steve Pachinik, who came on this program right after the Las Vegas thing, guy who worked for the CIA. And he started selling this narrative that nobody died at Las Vegas shooting. I shut him down right away because I know what that's about. All this nobody died stuff is a lie that's being sold to discredit the idea that there's any such thing as a false flag. I was already worried about Steve when there were allegations about what he had done with Operation Gladio years and years ago. But I will not have him back on my program again. Unfortunately, other people here do. But I don't trust him. I don't trust anybody that ever worked for the CIA except for John Kiriakou. Why? Because he went to jail as a whistleblower. I believe he's got credibility. He has spoken credibly about what has happened, about the lies that were sold based on the torture program that Gina Haspel destroyed. She destroyed the videos of the torture. Can you imagine if we had videos of the torture? Because, you know, they tried to soft sell this. Well, it wasn't really a torture. It was enhanced interrogation. That was what the lawyer for the CIA at the time, he wrote a book. He called it Company Man. And he was a company man. He said in that, I watched those Frank Church hearings, and instead of being appalled by an out-of-control secret agency, he looked at it and said, hey, they need a better lawyer. They need me. And he was, because he was able to get them off the hook about lying us into the Iraq War. And he lied about torture. And he got the whistleblower jailed while everybody else went free. Yeah, you better be careful about anybody that's got CIA connections. As a matter of fact, Terry Moran tweeted out, John Brennan has a lot to answer for. Going before the American public for months, cloaked with CIA authority? Yeah, cloaked with authority. Baloney. And openly suggesting that he's got secret info and repeatedly turning in performances like this, and he's got a clip of it. Look, we know what these guys are like. I don't trust Pompeo either. He openly said and got a laugh and applauded. Right here, Texas A&M. He said, you know, I was at West Point. We were told we don't lie, cheat, or cheat. We don't lie, cheat, or steal, and we don't tolerate people who do. And then I went to the CIA, and we lie, we cheat, we steal, and we got classes on it. That's right. And when President Trump says we're going to end these wars in Afghanistan and other places, Pompeo says, well, you know, he says things like that. But then we give him the facts. We give him the facts, the people who lie, who cheat, who steal. You know, when you look at what gets us into war, and we'll talk about this as well. You know, the other thing that's unraveling that I think is even more important than the Inspector General report, because the lies of the Russia investigation and the lies of the media putting that out there, that's been well documented. What most people are not talking about are the lies that tried to get us involved in Syria, the lies that are unraveling because of revelations of WikiLeaks about what the OPCW and Nikki Haley and others tried to do. We push very hard against that. That's one of the reasons we're punished. We'll be right back. Stay with us. You know, Glenn Greenwald of The Intercept, his headline saying this report from the Inspector General shows not only that the FBI spying was a scandal of historic magnitude, but also what it reveals about the U.S. media is of historic magnitude as well. And it's not just what we have come to learn over the now 3 years of the lies from the FBI and the media. It is also the other stuff that's not generally being talked about, like the OPCW story. And again, I don't want to make this about inside baseball. It's not really about that. You know, many times I've criticized with my family. I said, you know, when is Hollywood going to stop making movies about making movies? I don't really care about all these insider movies about Hollywood. But I tell you, when we talk about this and we talk about how information is provided out there, understand that there is a war on for your mind. That's what we talk about here at InfoWars. That's the essence of this. Are you going to get the truth or are you going to get propaganda? When there is a war conducted or they're trying to start a war, they always kill the truth first, the first casualty of war. And of course, this is openly talked about before they took down InfoWars off of social media. In November of 2017, you had a guy who worked with the intelligence community, who'd worked with the Pentagon, the military-industrial complex, and he openly testified, even though nobody really reported it, nobody paid any attention to it. He openly testified. He said, we're getting division in this country, and we're going to have to shut down free speech on social media. Now, that's a paraphrase of what he had to say. What he specifically said was he said, we're going to have a civil war unless we silence the cannons on social media. Well, that's exactly what they did. The biggest cannon was InfoWars. Why? Because we were telling you the truth. 4 months before they shut down this broadcast and Alex Jones and everything off of YouTube, Apple, Facebook, and so forth, we were talking about what is now coming out more and more, the OPCW story. You had a lot of people who were talking about it in terms of smaller organizations. You had Caitlin Johnstone talked a lot about it, Galloway in the UK, Moon over Alabama. You had Robert Fisk, British journalist who spoke Arabic, who went to Douma, and he spoke to the people there in the city. He spoke to the doctor who said, yeah, you know, we had these people, we're treating all these people for massive dust inhalation because it was such a massive bombing campaign. They couldn't breathe. People were actually being asphyxiated because of the dust as the buildings were collapsing. If the building collapse didn't kill them, they were dying from the dust. I mean, think about 9/11 and how people are still dying from the dust exposure there. And what happened in the aftermath of that as the government was telling them, it's okay, go back in, no problem. Going in, you know, one of the other lies that is still killing people about 9/11, our government's lies. Well, we had our government lying as well. Our government funding the White Helmets, along with the British government, facilitating their escape into other areas. Because a dirty little secret about Syria is that ISIS was our surrogate. And when Robert Fisk went there, and he talked to these doctors, they said, yeah, we're treating all these people. And one of the White Helmets comes in and says, it was chemical gas. And then everybody started dousing each other with water and so forth, you know. And he said, it wasn't true. He said, I tried to find them, but they'd already all left town. Didn't want to talk. Yeah, but he talked to a lot of people. He did a great report. I reported that when it happened. One of the few places where that was reported was here at InfoWars. I believe that what happened to us in August was payback for that type of thing. I mean, we'd oppose these false flag attacks going back to, 3 years. Every year, again, in the spring, they would try to orchestrate a false flag attack. And finally, in 2018, they decided that they would add another level. So as they did, you know, it's going to be the third time they did it, and we'd expose it as a false flag each time prior to that. And so they sexed it up with the Skripal poisoning. Sergei Skripal and his daughter, Julia, in the UK, they were supposedly poisoned by Novichok gas, a nerve gas 8 times more deadly than America's VX nerve gas. They would have died as Vladimir Putin was laughing. But immediately it was blamed on Russia. And all of the Mockingbird press, you know, all the people that you trust, Associated Press, Reuters, Fox News, CNN, all of them, oh, the Russians did it, the Russians did it. It's like, wait a minute, have you done a test? Does this even pass the sniff test, pun intended? Because quite frankly, all you would need is a sniff and you would be dead. You had a doctor who was working on them on a bench for a half hour, said, I thought they had opioid symptoms. And when this stuff was finally tested, months later, after the missiles had been fired because of the hectoring of Nikki Haley of the Trump administration and Ivanka Trump, Nikki Haley and Ivanka Trump and Theresa May throwing hissy fits, got President Trump to launch missiles on behalf of ISIS. And then months later, the OPCW report that came out of the Swiss lab, one of about a half dozen labs, the same kind of stuff that we eventually got out of the IG report, you know, where he comes back. He doesn't want to call the FBI liars. He said, well, they didn't quite meet the standards of truth that we would like to have. You know, where you tell people accurate information. Yeah, we call that, you know, we tell people inaccurate information when you've got the documents, which is why they said, well, they had the documents, but they didn't give us accurate information and they didn't tell us all of the truth and so forth. Well, that's lying, deception. If it was under oath, it was perjury. But eventually, when the OPCW tested the Skripal poisoning, they said, well, it's mostly BZ gas, which is a class 2 chemical weapon, not like Novichok or nerve gas, which is class 1. BZ produces opioid-like symptoms, just like the doctor said. And of course, you know, we had shown the pictures of people the next day wearing their hazmat suits and right next to them on the, you know, standing next to the bench where this all allegedly happened. And you got some guys there in hazmat suits for the photo op. You've also got some other people there with no protection clothing on whatsoever. They said, of course, this is a lie. And the OPCW lab said, and there was a trace amount of pristine, undegraded Novichok. That was just added there for a little bit of a narrative, essentially, because after months, it would have been degraded. That's why they added the pristine, undegraded part. And the same thing the inspector general did. They don't want to come out, just like the IG didn't want to come out and say the FBI lied. The Swiss OPCW lab didn't want to come out and say they lied. But now we have a new WikiLeaks bombshell comes out. And it turns out that, you know, first we had the news that one inspector said, you know, we did the test and we didn't find any of the chemicals there. Then a second inspector came out and said, yeah, the ballistic stuff was baloney, to put it politely. Then on Saturday, WikiLeaks released more documents that shows that at the time, there were 20 inspectors who said, you're lying about this. I said they were lying about it in April. That's why we were taken off in August, quite frankly. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Free speech to free minds. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
On Saturday, WikiLeaks released more documents which contradict the U.S. narrative on Assad's use of chemical weapons, reports Zero Hedge. And of course, if you look at this report, you see that there was a memo as part of the WikiLeaks leak. There was a memo that said 20 inspectors at the time. Not one, not two that we've had recently. I've talked about this as the people have come out. But, of course, we called this as a lie from the very beginning. It was just convenient. Every March, beware the Ides of March, because you're going to have another false flag attempt in Syria to draw us into a deeper war. And then you're also going to have the Brutuses among us, like Nikki Haley, goading President Trump into doing something. Conservatives, you need to understand where Nikki Haley is coming from. She is a very dangerous warmonger, a liar extraordinaire. And a lot of people now are talking about the OPCW. I mean, it hasn't picked up the kind of, you know, the lie that was told about that has not gotten the kind of attention that has been paid to the FBI trying to overthrow our election. But make no mistake about it. What they're trying to do is to rope us into another war deeper than we already are under false pretenses and to also destroy the Constitution. That's serious. It's just as serious as what's being done to President Trump with the FBI narrative, the collaboration with the media, which again echoes precisely what they did to Richard Jewell. That's why they want to shut that movie down. But this is just as important. And again, as people are talking about this, and I see a lot of chatter now about this in the free press, as opposed to the checkmark, checkbook press. You know, you have InfoWars, you've got Breitbart, Zero Hedge, RT. People are talking about the OPCW report. However, they're still not really talking about it on establishment media, except for Tucker Carlson. Kudos to Tucker for talking about this. He has always been telling people the truth, I think. And it's good to see that he has the courage to do that on a news network that, quite frankly, has become, in many regards, just as much of a disinformation outlet as CNN. And now President Trump is openly calling them out on it. We got more about that coming up with what Chris Wallace had to say. But before we move on to that, just to focus on how they lied to us about this OPCW report. And again, even though a lot of people are talking about the report about the chemical attack in Douma in 2018, the third time that they tried this, most of the press is still not talking about the fake Skripal poisoning, which I think is even more obvious and has been exposed. If you go back and look at the facts, and I've done that many times, so I'm not going to go back on that to cover it. You know, all the reports that I did about that in April of 2018 were flushed down the memory hole by YouTube, by Google, 4 months later. Imagine that. Imagine my surprise, as Paul Joseph Watson would say. I wasn't surprised at all, quite frankly. I was surprised that nobody else covered it. But of course, if they did, they wouldn't get their checkbook. They wouldn't get their check mark from DARPA, from Microsoft. Journalism is dying. The U.S. government has its tentacles in every part of the media, says a reporter who quit over this OPCW story. Now, this is a reporter who was writing for Newsweek, and I think that Newsweek ought to change their name to Newspeak because it's become such an Orwellian mouthpiece. Yeah, just call it Newspeak magazine. Stories that challenge establishment narratives go unreported because the media has been co-opted by the U.S. government, says a former Newsweek or Newspeak reporter, after his editors blocked him from writing about recent OPCW leaks. You know, we had a lot of people talking about how, you know, that reporter for ABC was blocked from, you know, talking about Jeffrey Epstein. The video surfaced about her complaining a couple of years ago. You know, hey, 3 years ago, I had all this stuff about Jeffrey Epstein. They shut me down. Well, of course they did. Because she was working for George Stephanopoulos, who worked for the Clintons. Of course, they're going to shut that down. And of course, thanks to Project Veritas, I got a lot of attention. But nobody's talking about the OPCW lies and how the press is shutting that down, even firing this guy because of that. I'm sorry, they didn't fire him. He resigned. Tariq Haddad announced his resignation from Newsweek. I'm sorry, Newspeak last week, claiming his editors had shot down his attempt to report on a leaked email which cast doubt on the OPCW's findings. So let me ask you, you know, I'm not saying that the information about the leaders of most of the governments of the West being involved with Jeffrey Epstein's pedophile networks and prostitution as blackmail ring being run by Israeli intelligence. I'm not saying that that's not newsworthy. That certainly is newsworthy. And it's outrageous that ABC News would shut that down to protect the Clintons, to protect their access to the royal family and so forth. But it is also equally important to know that Newsweek is shutting down anybody exposing the truth now about how we were lied to in order to get us involved more deeply into Syria. I take that back. We're already deeply involved in Syria. Come on. You know, we had the back and forth between Leon Panetta and Jeff Sessions when Sessions was a senator, saying, well, you're going to tell us before you go into Syria, right? We're going to have a vote on that, right? Can I be a part of that? I'm in Senate, you know, as Constitution member, all that. You are a congressman. You know how that. Well, we might tell you, but we probably won't. We'll just consult our allies and NATO and the UN, and we'll decide about that. And we might tell you, said Leon Panetta, the defense secretary, later the CIA. You know, they like guys like that. So they get all these jobs as defense secretary of CIA. You know, just the arrogance of Leon Panetta. And say, well, we might tell you, but probably not. You know, and just sneering at him. Yeah, you got the audio of that? Let's learn a little bit. You got the clip up there. Good guys.
With Republican presidents and Democratic presidents who have always reserved the right to defend this country if necessary.
Okay, well, we got that. That's a good job, guys. You pull that stuff up real quick. What they just had was Senator Sessions in that clip before we started the audio saying, well, you're going to tell us, aren't you? Well, we'll do whatever is necessary. We'll consult with our allies. And, of course, they went ahead and put the troops in by the thousands. They built a dozen military bases, several airfields. They never told us about that. And, of course, all this was to overthrow a regime. And we allied and with ISIS. We funded ISIS. All this hand-wringing about these Kurds and so forth. They're Marxist-Leninists. You know, we gave them weapons. We gave ISIS weapons. We funded terrorists. So did, I had pictures of senators there. Our beloved senator who passed away. And we're not supposed to talk about that, right? Don't say anything about that. But now we have the chemical attack in Douma. You know, we got a lot of information coming out about that. This guy at Newspeak, his editors responded by accusing him of misreporting previous stories that he had worked on. They said in a statement that he had pitched a conspiracy theory rather than an idea for objective reporting. You see, if you disagree with them, they call it, at Newspeak, they call it a conspiracy theory. You know, if you actually got a picture of John McCain standing there with the terrorist that he's funding, that's a conspiracy theory. That's the way that they reply to this. That's something that was coined by our lying FBI going back to the JFK assassination. That was the FBI that coined that term, conspiracy theory. They've always been about lies and disinformation. When are we going to do something about the FBI is what I want to know. You know the answer to that. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
On the 12th day of Christmas, I'm going to exchange an automatic vegetable slicer that works when you see it on television, but not when you get it home.
Chromium combination manager, scissors, and cigarette lighter.
Pair of teakwood shower clocks.
Indoor plastic birdnet.
Pink satin pillow that says San Diego with fringe all around it. Statue of a naked lady with a clock where her stomach ought to be.
Yeah, you can get all that stuff at Amazon.
Calendar, the name of my insurance
man. Or you can support Free Speech and InfoWars. You can take a look at our 12 Days of Christmas sale that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. We're now at day number 8, and our special for the day is 60% off TurboForce. And you'll find that a lot more useful than a statue of a naked lady with a clock where her stomach ought to be. Or a Japanese transistor radio, which was a joke at the time that was done. Not a joke anymore. They solved their quality issues. But you're not going to have any quality issues with what we sell at InfoWarsStore.com. We have the very highest quality supplements that you'll find anywhere. Natural, safe, and very effective, and highly discounted. Right now, we have free shipping, double Patriot points at InfoWarsStore.com. And today's special is part of the 12 Days of Christmas for the next 12 days. We're going to be introducing items at drastic discounts and some of the other ones that we've had that are still available. 60% off Brain Force Plus, my favorite supplement. You can certainly feel the effect of Brain Force Plus unlike, for example, selenium. But you know that selenium is good for you, right? That's another one of our specials. It's also 60% off. You just want to make sure that you've got a good quality source of selenium, and that's what our BioTrue Selenium is. It's non-GMO, it's totally organic, and it is 60% off, as well as free shipping, double Patriot points. We also have 60% off Knockout, our all-natural sleep aid. Yes, you give that to anybody in your family, including yourself, if you're having difficulty sleeping, and you'll have visions of sugar plum fairies dancing in your head in no time at all. I've had a lot of friends and family who have tried this, and they are absolutely amazed at how effective Knockout is in giving you a great night's sleep. And, of course, it's not something that just affects older folks now. Everybody is getting their sleep cycles disrupted by the blue light, looking at your phones, looking at your computer terminals and so forth. That is causing a lot of people to have sleep issues. Well, you can address that naturally with Knockout. A lot of different ingredients. Again, melatonin is something people have always known about. I've used that in the past to reset my biological clock, not the one with the and the lady's stomach, you know, that he's talking about, but your biological clock. And, you know, it's one of the ingredients there. But we've got a lot of other ingredients that just help you to relax, and so you don't have to have as much melatonin there. Also, bodies to take away your inflammation, all-natural ingredients, Ultra 12, or vitamin B12. We have 50% off all apparel if you want to gift something to somebody. Of course, you could also give them the gift of sleep or some of these other supplements. 50% off all apparel. We have 60% off many items. And now joining that today is 60% off Turbo Force. It will soon be your go-to source for quick, accessible energy. So don't shop with Amazon. Don't buy them a Japanese transistor radio or a statue of a naked lady with a clock where her stomach ought to be. You can support Liberty, support InfoWars and the free press. Take a look at the specials that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. Free shipping, double Patriot points, and many items set up for our 12 days of Christmas. Let's talk a little bit about the other media. Again, Chris Wallace has come after President Trump again. And The Guardian is very excited to report this. Fox host lambasts Trump over the, quote, most sustained assault on press freedom in U.S. history. Let's play Chris Wallace, video clip number one.
I believe that President Trump is engaged in the most direct, sustained assault on freedom of the press in our history. And I will get to that in a moment.
Pause that a second. Where were you, Chris? Where were you when we had the most direct assault on the freedom of press ever? When they came after InfoWars, it didn't stop with us. They came after another 800 sites who pushed back against the surveillance state, the police state, unending wars, the drug war, the war on drugs, all those things that you promote there at Fox News. 800 sites besides us. 2 months later, they came after another 800 sites, and they were all across the political spectrum. Those were the issues that were central. And of course, Chris Wallace, like the rest of Fox News, with the exception of Tucker Carlson, he understood where this was going. And he had the integrity. They understood too. They just didn't have the integrity. The rest of the people at Fox News didn't have the integrity of Tucker Carlson to say anything about it. But yeah, they have been pushing war on Fox News. They've been pushing drugs for big pharmaceutical companies. That's how they get their multi-million dollar paychecks. They've been pushing the war on drugs, and they've been pushing the police state, the surveillance state. And Chris Wallace was absolutely silent, or probably tacitly approving, because, you know, he's got his check mark from DARPA and Microsoft. You know, he's got the little check mark, and he gets his checkbook from big pharmaceutical companies. So he had nothing to say about the massive censorship on social media, where you got the biggest companies the world has ever seen all coming together all at once against independent media. Us first, then many others. Let's go back to what he had to say. Let's continue on with this shill, Chris Wallace. Go ahead. Oh, yeah, the other news people
Before you
that.
Applaud, listen to the rest of this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because
they
I think
hate Trump.
Many of our colleagues in the news business see the president's attacks, his constant bashing of the media, as a rationale, as an excuse to cross the line themselves to push back. And that is a big mistake. I see it all the time on the front page of major newspapers and the lead of the evening news. Fact mixed with opinion. Buzzwords like bombshell and scandal. The animus of the reporter and the editor as plain to see as the headline.
Well, he went on to say, back in 2017, where he says, President Trump has done everything he can to undercut the media, to try to delegitimize us. See, it's us, the media, versus everybody else. And these are the same people that are clapping for him at the newsium, the news museum in Washington. They're applauding him. That's your little information guild, the little union that thinks that they should be the ones to, you know, they've got a check mark and they have the approval to be at the White House. Everybody else doesn't have any official credentials. These are the same people who really are pushing quietly the licensing of all journalism, not just around the White House press corps, but everywhere. They're the people behind the purge on social media, not only of independent free press, but also of you, the public. They don't want you speaking because, you know, you are not an authority. They are. And you need to listen to them. And you need to listen to them and let them tell you what to think. Don't think for yourself. And so he says, President Trump has done everything he can to undercut the media, to try to delegitimize us. No, you're delegitimizing yourself, Chris. Fox News, CNN, MSNBC. You lost that war in the marketplace of ideas. And so you have to use censorship. You have to put on the mantle of authority and credentials. He says, I think his purpose is clear, to raise doubts when we report critically about him and his administration. Back in 2017, he tweeted something that said far more about him than it did about us. President Trump, he said, tweeted, the fake news media is not my enemy. It is the enemy of the American people. President Trump was correct about that. We all know that he was right about that. And we all know, as I said, that Chris Wallace and the establishment at Fox News, with the exception of Tucker Carlson, is pushing war, drugs, the war on drugs, police state, the surveillance state, the rest of this. President Trump came out, said Fox News is trying to be politically correct. He says it's hard to believe that Fox News will be interviewing sleazebag, totally discredited former FBI Director James Comey, also corrupt politician Adam Shifty Schiff. Fox is trying so hard to be politically correct, yet they were totally shut out from the failed Democrat debates. In other words, you might try to suck up to them, Chris, but you'll never be included by them. He goes on to say, both Comeycast, MSNBC, in other words, it's Comcast, but he's calling them communists, and he's right about that, and fake news CNN are watching their ratings tank. Fredo on CNN is dying. Don't know why Fox News wants to be more like them. They'll all die together as other outlets take their place. Only pro-Trump Fox shows do well. The rest are doing nothing. How is Shep doing, by the way, as President Trump tweeted out? Well, the reality is, you see the story. I saw this when I was on vacation. Somebody bought the Beverly Hillbillies mansion, $150 million. I said, what hillbilly bought that? Well, it turns out it was Lachlan Murdoch. I'm going to listen to my story about a Murdoch clan. They're just rolling in cash, selling you drugs and war for the military-industrial complex. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. As I was saying before we went to break, I was absolutely amazed to see that somebody bought the mansion that was actually used for the Beverly Hillbillies. It was on sale originally for $350 million. It wound up, it was a steal, I guess, for only $150 million. And it includes a big cement pond. And here's the picture of Lachlan Murdoch, the guy who now runs Fox News for his daddy. It kind of looks like a cleaned-up Jethro Bodine. You know, if he had somebody that was, you know, he hired some professional person to dress and manicure him, that's what Jethro Bodine would look like. And that's what, you know, selling the lies on Fox News about war, about the war on drugs, about drugs, you know, selling the drugs, the opioids, and other things like that. I mean, it's like every commercial break, and they have tons of commercials, virtually every one of the breaks, they've got some dangerous pharmaceutical drug that they're talking about. And as they rattle off all of the different side effects of that drug, you see children running through a field in slow motion, you know, field of flowers and everything. It's like, what? What a criminal business model that is. Again, I don't have any respect for anybody there except for Tucker Carlson. He does tell the truth, and good for him to do that. But yeah, this is what it's come down to, the Murdoch clan. Selling that stuff out there. And you look at Chris Wallace, as Travis was saying during the break, he said, yeah, appropriate that they were doing it at the museum because these guys that are applauding themselves in the establishment media are history. They are history. So you can set that up in a museum. To give you an example, over the weekend, we also saw some interesting things come out. Actually, it was on Thursday that Bernie Sanders endorsed Stink Uger of the Young Turds. And it took him 24 hours to undo that endorsement of Stink. And why did he do it? Well, it turns out that Stink, who is now running for Congress, and this is the thing I find fascinating. All the comments that he's got in the past, the disgusting comments that he had about bestiality, and the comments that he had about women. You remember, the Young Turds were the go-to network for YouTube. They have endlessly promoted the Young Turds on YouTube. At the same time, they were doing everything to shut down and hide our videos before they absolutely purged our videos. The Young Turds are being endlessly promoted by them. I mean, you look at videos about monetizing your channel, and they would have Stink Uger talking about how the Young Turds were so successful with YouTube. And then when we had the nominating conventions, the DNC, the RNC, back in 2016, who was it that was providing live coverage for YouTube? The featured channel on YouTube? The Young Turds. And so now Stink wants to get even more involved in politics. He wants to become a congressman. But unfortunately, some things surfaced immediately after he got the Bernie Sanders endorsement. It's kind of like some of the writings of Bernie Sanders that surfaced, interestingly enough. But there were comments. Stink had talked about in 2013, you know, this is before he got the check mark and everything from YouTube and before they endorsed him and put him up in a prominent place to cover all the political conventions. He's talking about bestiality and many other things. We're going to talk about that when we come back. We're going to clean it up because we're not the Young Turds. We're not the Howard Stern show either. We're going to give you a general idea of the perversion of Stink Uger and the Young Turds when we come back. These are the kinds of people that YouTube and the Silicon Six want you to get your information from. Not us, them. We'll be right back.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Well, Welcome back. You know, I was amazed to look over the weekend at, I was amazed that Stink Uger, the Young Turds, is actually running for Congress. I mean, how much worse can it be? We've already got AOC, and we've already got the squad. You know, and quite frankly, you want to look at where this is all headed. Talk a little bit about what's going on with Finland. Yeah, they have now entered what I would call the millennial tribulation. They've got four women. they've created a coalition government there. Four women, all millennials, who are head of the radical left Marxist parties there. And we'll talk about some of the things that they're doing. But yeah, they're going to be heading into tribulation as they're being governed by some millennial women there. And I can, you know, look at the picture of these women. They're all very attractive. You know, they look kind of like a Christmas album of the Celtic women, if you know what I'm talking about. I can understand why they got the vote. But, you know, we ought to take this stuff a little bit more seriously. And we ought to take this very seriously, what's going on with Bernie Sanders and the radicals. You know, isn't it interesting that Bernie Sanders himself, you know, he's had, you know, these very prurient writings that surfaced from his past that now have been swept under the carpet for the time being. We will bring them back up, believe me. If he advances to the next round, which I don't think he is. But the radical Marxists that are out there, they are so, well, it's just like, you know, it's not just something that they have. You know, we have the Jeffrey Epsteins. It affects the conservatives as well. But just people in politics in general. Isn't it just amazing how perverted they are? How perverted the people who operate our media are? It's absolutely amazing. The Sodom and Gomorrah media and politicians that we have now. And so you got Stink Uger, the Young Turds. And again, as I pointed out at the top of the hour, this was the organization that was promoted endlessly by YouTube, even featuring them as you know, their go-to news source for around-the-clock live coverage of the DNC and the RNC conventions, nominating conventions, presidential conventions in 2016. And to give you an idea of what surfaced after Stink said he was going to run for Congress, this 2013 video, and again, we're going to have to use some euphemisms here because this is not the Young Turds. This is not the Howard Stern Show. And I don't want to dumb down the quality of discussion here, but I do have to report on what he's saying. He discussed a rating system for women, you know, giving them a 1 to 10. And what rating a woman would have to have in order to perform certain services for Stink Uger of the Young Turds. And then he says, and here comes the controversial part I shouldn't say. I believe that if I were the benevolent dictator of the world right there, okay, this is what these guys always fantasize about. They always want to be the dictator. A benevolent dictator, of course. Of course, a benevolent dictator. But a dictator nevertheless. All these people in power. If I were the benevolent dictator of the world, I would legalize bestiality. There you go. Bestiality. The last taboo, I guess. Is that what the LGBT stands for? I know the T is for tyranny, right? Is the B for bestiality? Well, it will be soon. Because there is no bottom to the slippery slope these people put us on. There is no depths to which they will not sink. The corruption, the disgusting corruption of these people. He was fired from a progressive political action committee, the Justice Democrats, the Justice League of Democrats, after his sexist blog post surfaced. But he had some other things to say about women, and he said, you know, obviously the genes of women are flawed. I guess that's why he needs to have bestiality, because he said they're poorly designed creatures, you know, these other creatures he prefers besides women. He says women are poorly designed creatures who do not want to have sex nearly as often as needed for the human race to get along peacefully and fruitfully. Therefore, bestiality, according to Stink Uger and the Young Turds. In 2002, he talked about the rules of dating, which, to put it politely, he said there must be a score by the fifth date. And then he talked about his attendance in 2003 of Mardi Gras, where he kissed over 23 different women, saw and felt, well, let's say just he had some touchdowns. This is the guy who wants to replace Katie Hill. And I would say he is eminently qualified, wouldn't you? I wonder if he's got any Nazi tattoos. He certainly supported the Turk genocide against Armenians. He's pushed back against that. He's qualified on that respect. I don't know. But this is the kind of media that YouTube and Google respect, the kind of people that they want to push. And folks, if you don't understand what is really behind all of this, you know, when you look at MTV and you look at Sumner Redstone and the perversion that he's done, not only destroying music, you know, making it about sex videos, that's what it's become, right? All the MTV basically denigrated any form of music. We've now got a bunch of millennial people who can't sing. They auto-tune everything. But they look good, and they do satanic videos. And that's what it's become. And that was what was pushed by people like Sumner Redstone. And that's why YouTube and Google want to push somebody like Stink Uger. You know, the amazing thing is what Bernie Sanders said. Because after all this stuff surfaced, Bernie Sanders said, Stink has been a longtime fighter against the corrupt forces in our politics. Are you kidding me? He's a very embodiment of corruption. You know, there's the kind of corruption that we see with Joe Biden. You know, getting his son into a position where he can make truckloads full of money every month from Ukraine or from China, you know, trading on their influence. That's one kind of corruption. The other kind of corruption, which is even more destructive to a nation, is the kind of moral corruption represented by Stink Uger and the Young Turds and YouTube and Google. That is what is going to destroy this country. More than the kind of graft that you see coming from Joe Biden. You know, the other thing that happened while I was gone, of course, was the election in the UK. And as we see, Corbyn and the left are really trying to recreate the script of the Democrats after losing the election. Now we've got Corbyn coming out saying yesterday, again, the Marxist leader of the left saying, we won. We won. Now, he doesn't have an electoral college that he can blame his defeat on, which is really the way the system works. So it's not really any kind of a blame. But he said, we won the argument, but I regret we didn't convert that into a majority. Well, you know, that's the way that works, Corbyn. But again, you've got people rioting in the streets in the UK as they are screaming, not my prime minister, just like they did with President Trump in the election that they lost. And, you know, Brexit and the election of Trump, again, both of those were a sound repudiation of the policies of the Marxist left, of the globalists. And in both of these cases, you've got the radicals on the street rioting, saying, not my prime minister, saying that they have won this election regardless of what the vote totals are. And is this going to be a wake-up call for the Democrats? Many people have asked about that. They said, you know, we hear that this is going to be the rebirth of the left, that the left is surging back, and yet that's not the case. And when you look at the radical policies that Corbyn was putting out there, increased government spending by a massive £83 billion a year, about 4% of GDP, the Democrats here in America are far more radical than Corbyn is. As a matter of fact, the sad thing about it is that it looks like a Bojo is going to jump in with that spending. I'm afraid that Trump is as well. That's one aspect of it that where there's no difference between them. But what they're trying to do in terms of enacting total Marxism with the excuse of climate change, that is exactly what's happening here. We'll be right back. That's right, the government shall be upon his shoulders. That hasn't happened yet. But, you know, we go back and look at the foundation of this country. We did not establish, well, they did in the individual states, but not at the federal level. They did not want to have one denomination of Christianity ruling over the others, as had been the case in Europe, where they'd come from. They'd seen that kind of religious persecution. They wanted religious freedom. But they also understood that men are not angels. You see, the foundation of America was a Christian foundation. That is a Christian view of fallen man. Yes, America did not establish Christianity. Christianity established America. You take a look at the writings of James Madison. If men were angels, no government would be necessary. He said, what is government itself but the greatest of all reflections on human nature? They understood the nature of men far better than we understand today, because we have been miseducated by secular humanism. That is the religion that is taught in our schools. That is the religion that is established in our schools, and it is disestablishing the foundations of our country. What is government itself but the greatest of all reflections on human nature? He wrote in Federalist Paper 51, he said, if men were angels, no government would be necessary. If angels were to govern men, neither external nor internal controls on government would be necessary. In framing a government which is to be administered by men over men, the great difficulty lies in this. You must first enable the government to control the governed, and in the next place, you must oblige it to control itself. Well, how do you do that? Well, he pointed out prior to that in Federalist Paper 51, he said the great security against a gradual concentration of power in the same department consists of giving to those who administer each department the necessary constitutional means and personal motives to resist encroachment of the others. In other words, they wanted divided government. That was the only way they could see around this paradox that you have here, this dilemma, the idea that you wouldn't need government if men were angels, but since men are not angels, what do you do about those who are in government? What do you do about how do you watch the watchers? How do you control these people? He said, well, you do it by divided government. That was the idea that established the federal government. The fact that you were going to divide the federal government into separate, independent, separating powers so that it would not become concentrated, consolidated, unified. And that's what we've found now. We now have unified power where we've got the judiciary above everybody else. That's not what was intended. And, you know, the discussion that was happening before I went on vacation between Turley on the one hand saying, well, you know, the judiciary has to say it. And it's like, shut up about judicial supremacy. I'm sick of hearing about that. That is not constitutional. That is a lawyer idea that is being propagated by lawyers for lawyers. And that's what we've got right now. We've got a government of lawyers for lawyers and by lawyers. I mean, it's just they're ruling everything. And that's not what was intended. And, of course, Andrew Napolitano was wrong as well. The president and the executive branch is not subordinate to the congressional branch either. Go back and look at what the founders had to say. Madison, the great security against gradual concentration of several powers into the same department, whether that's the Supreme Court, the judicial branch, or the congressional branch, or even the executive branch, is to have each of these, to use personal motives to resist encroachment of the others. In other words, this is continuing with what he had to say, ambition must be made to counteract ambition. That was the genius of this plan. We're going to take the ambition of people in one branch of government, and we're going to use it to control the ambition of people in other branches of government. That's why you have divided government. And that's why they divided the potential for concentration of power in Washington was so great, and of course it's now been realized. That's why they divided power between the three branches in Washington, and then divided power from Washington, the creation of the states. They wanted to make sure that unless Washington was explicitly given that power. The federal government was given that power explicitly. If that wasn't given it, they didn't have it. It was retained by the states who had created the federal government and by the people. And so that is also our duty to counteract their ambition by the people, by the various state governments. That's why I say it's very important that we understand and we listen at this time of year, at Christmas time. You know, it's not just entertainment. Handel was very explicit. He took the words straight out of Isaiah that you just heard there. The government shall be upon his shoulder. Well, it's on our shoulders right now to a degree. We're responsible for a lot of this. We have to counteract this. And we look at the opposition to our self-government. When we look at the opposition to the Constitution, it ultimately comes down to an opposition to God. Now, Andrew Breitbart talked about, he said, politics is downstream from culture. Culture is downstream from education. I disagree. I think both culture and politics are downstream from education. But there's nowhere in Andrew Breitbart's calculus there for God's place. And once you have an educational establishment that enthrones man as God, which our secular education necessarily has, that's what R.L. Dabney said was going to happen. He said, you can't pick one religion over the others, because we've seen how that works out in Europe, and it's prohibited in the Constitution. So what's going to happen is you're going to have a secular education. It's going to purge God out, and it's going to create monsters. Because when you enthrone man as God, and that's what secular humanism has done, that's flows down into culture. It flows down into politics. Culture will then worship man, and the politicians will then act as if they're God. And that's precisely where we are. It's a circular thing. It's not even a downstream thing. It's a circular feedback loop. Facebook, shutting down a mom for sharing Christmas Bible passages. And actually, it's not even a Christmas Bible passage. Carol Waldman, reported by True Pundit, posted on Facebook, just said Luke 10. And Facebook came back and said, we've gone through this, and this is not going to be allowed. I thought, what was it in Luke 10 that they took exception to? Well, maybe it was this. It begins, Jesus talking to his disciples, remember, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Whenever you go into somebody's home, you say, may God's peace be on this house. But if a town refuses to welcome you, you go on the street and say, we wipe the dust of this town from our feet to show that you have abandoned it to its fate. That is what we should be doing to Facebook. You should wipe the dust of Facebook off of your feet. I assure you, even wicked Sodom or even Sink Uger.
Liberty, it's your move. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. In this last half hour, I'm going to open up the phone lines if you want to join the program. The number is 888-201-2244. That's 888-201-2244. I've been gone for a week. Give you guys a chance to chime in and tell me what you think about what's happened over the last week. We've had a lot of stuff that's happened with the impeachment moves, with the Inspector General report. And as I pointed out, a lot has been exposed about the corruption of the FBI and the media. A lot is still not being talked about in terms of the OPCW lies and the lies of the media pushing a deeper war in Syria, or even talking about the other lies that were still not, for the most part, been opposed in terms of the lies told by Nikki Haley, Theresa May, Ivanka Trump about the Skripal poisoning in the U.K. I mean, that is still not being talked about by most people. I've had a lot of people contacting me while I was gone, talking about the various elections here. Vince from Virginia wanted to point out that as we look at what's happening in Virginia, and now you see this escalation of the Democrats saying, we'll use the National Guard to take the guns if we have to. We're going to send in the Army. I mean, they're escalating this and a full-on civil war. And I played the clip before I left of the plainclothes police officer who said, look, regardless of what you think about these various issues, understand people take this very seriously. They're going to fight instead of giving up their guns. And as a police officer, I and many others are not going to be a part of this. And this is how civil wars begin, by denying people their fundamental liberties. And we're not going to be a part of that. And so now the Democrats are saying, well, we'll just send the National Guard around. Now, Vince from Virginia sent me an email and said, this is something that people are not talking about in the press. And I think this is very important. Listen to this. He said, in Virginia, the GOP did not even run a candidate in 40 of the statewide legislative races. Out of a total of 140 races, there were 40 races where the Democrats ran unopposed. I was just talking about Madison and the fact that he said, we have to counter the ambition of people in power with divided government, with the separation of powers. That's true of the federal government, but it's also true at the state level as well. If you don't have any ambition, if you're going to just set back and not participate, this is what you get, what's going on in Virginia. And now these people are talking about pushing a civil war because nobody even ran against the Democrats in 40 out of 140 different races. The GOP didn't give us candidates for almost 30% of the races. So how can you possibly maintain control if you're not even going to participate? That's the sad situation that we've got. And when we look at the other things that are happening in elections, we have in Detroit more than 2,500 dead people registered to vote in Detroit. You know, there was a Babylon Bee story about how the No Malarkey campaign of Joe Biden was so popular with the the generation of dead people. For the most part, but don't worry because those dead people will still be voting in large numbers in the upcoming election. And that's true. I mean, you see this everywhere. We saw this in North Carolina as well. There's a fight, a legal fight, as they're trying to get people who are no longer there off of the rolls in Wisconsin. They're trying to oppose that as well. As a matter of fact, we've got a clip. Don't we have a clip of Biden being trolled as part of his malarkey campaign that he's running out there? Again, this guy is just, as I said before, he's running a Mr. Magoo campaign. Let's play that clip from an info warrior calling out Joe Biden, and then we'll go to your phone calls. Let's roll video clip number 4.
We are the nation. We can't let this happen. This election is about the soul of our nation. And Donald Trump has poisoned our soul. He fans the flames of hate. Hate groups. White supremacists here at home. Coming down the escalator when he announced in Trump Towers, he said he was doing it before he hit the ground floor. Remember what he said? He said, I'm going to take on those rapist Mexicans. Then he claimed, no, that this, there's never been a president.
That's a lie, Joe.
Never been a president.
That's a lie.
Oh, it is a lie.
Yeah. And it was your son and the Ukraine. All right.
Get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Out of here.
You're the one that offered to withhold $1 billion. The cancel of foreign relations. Son of a bitch, he got fired, right, Joe? Son of a bitch, he got fired, right? Remember that? Trump is innocent! Trump is innocent! Infowars.com! Infowars.com, Joe! You'll never be president! Your son is a crackhead! Your son is a crackhead, Joe! What do you think about that? Son of a bitch, he got fired, right? You're not giving $1 billion, right, Joe? There's your quid pro quo, Joe.
Joe is speechless. He doesn't know what to say.
Infowars.com.
Oh, that guy completely shut down Joe Biden. Oh, Magoo, you've done it again. As his vision and his memory fade, Biden's Mr. Magoo tour continues. Is it malarkey and balderdash, or is it just straight-up lies? I tweeted that out yesterday. And of course, we got the story up at InfoWars.com. Biden blatantly lies, says that he helped to find GOP votes for Obamacare, except the record shows that not a single Republican did vote for Obamacare. A great job from one of our listeners. Completely shut down Joe Biden. He did not know how to respond. He was speechless because there wasn't anything on the teleprompter about what to say about that. So I wanted to go to some of the callers because you guys have got great comments. Let's go first to Margaret in the USA. Go ahead, Margaret. Thank you for holding.
Yes. Hello?
Hello. Yes. Go ahead. Thank you.
Yes, I'd like to talk about the government-created myth that the sovereign citizens are crazed cop killers.
Yes, yes. We've seen that narrative put out there, haven't we?
There was a program that that was based on... Actually, the American people don't know about this much. They assume that sovereign citizens are just regular people that believe in the Constitution. But the cops have a different view, and the court system has a very different view. They actually gave one prisoner extra time because they said he was a sovereign. He said he was not a sovereign citizen, but they said that he used sovereign citizen phraseology in his speeches before, and therefore they gave him extra years on his sentence because for being a sovereign citizen.
Yes, and that's something that we should all be very worried about when we look at these kind of red flag gun laws, how they can label somebody like that. And of course, I remember when the Bundy Ranch standoff was happening. And I remember Glenn Beck pulling on Clive and Bundy and knowing exactly what you're talking about, Margaret, about the sovereign citizen label and how that meant one thing to citizens and it meant something completely different to law enforcement. And Glenn Beck said to Clive and Bundy, are you a sovereign citizen? And of course, Clive and Bundy didn't know anything about this movement that they're trying to label him with. And he goes, well, I think citizens are sovereign. And it was a deliberate attempt by Glenn Beck to put a target on Clive and Bundy. And I called him out on that as that happened. And that's exactly what was happening. We'd already seen the MIAC report back in 2009. We had the Fusion Center, that the law enforcement center, and they said anybody that has a bumper sticker on their car showing that they support Ron Paul or Chuck Baldwin, you better be ready. These people are probably sovereign citizens. So have your hand on your gun, you know, ready to shoot these people because they're going to try to kill you. That's the narrative they're putting out there. We'll be right back. Stay with us. We've got more phone calls. And more from Margaret if she wants to say anything else about this. I know we got to her right at the end of the segment. More phone calls when we come back. Stay with us. Welcome back. We're taking calls, and we've got Aaron in Kentucky, Chris in Arizona, Mark in North Carolina, Danny in Oregon. We're trying to get to everybody as quickly as we can. Real quickly, before we go back to our callers, just to remind you that we are in the middle of our 12 Days of Christmas sale at InfoWarsStore.com. I guess we could call it the 12 Sales of Christmas. We are now at day number 8. We don't have 8 Lords Leaping. We've got something even better. We got 60% off Turbo Force, and I'll tell you what, it'll give you so much energy that you may be leaping yourself. It's 60% off, and it joins some of our other 12 days specials. 60% off of Brain Force Plus, 60% off Knockout, our all-natural sleep aid. Again, give the gift of sleep. I'm sure that you know somebody that's having trouble sleeping because we're all looking at our devices, and that is messing up our biological clock. Many articles about that. 60% off BodEase, that anti-inflammatory, natural, all-natural ingredients to ease inflammation. Bodies, 60% off. Our vitamin B12, Ultra 12, 60% off of that. 60% off of BioTrue Selenium. Non-GMO, all organic selenium, 60% off. And we have 50% off all apparel. You don't have to go to Amazon.com. You don't have to get a Japanese transistor radio or a statue of a naked lady with a clock where her belly ought to be. You can get apparel at InfoWarsStore.com. Or you can give, as I said, the gift of sleep or health. We've got a lot of specials. Again, joining those specials today, 60% off of TurboForce, free shipping, double Patriot points at InfoWarsStore.com. All right, let's go to Aaron in Kentucky. Thank you for holding, Aaron. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call, David. Great show today, as it always is.
Oh, thank you.
You know, one of the things that, not to blow smoke, but here, one of the things I find fantastic about your show is that there is this underlying understanding that everything that's going on in the culture, everything that's going on in the geopolitical landscape, everything that's happening, all goes back to the fact that man is sinful and we have separated ourselves from God, and that the only restoration is through Jesus Christ for that.
That's right.
It's phenomenal that you have that foundation there as well, because it's not about conservatism, it's not about liberalism, it's about what's right and wrong as compared to the scriptures. What you said,
and that was the understanding of the people who founded this country as well. You know, the understanding of human nature, a big part of that, the need for redemption by Jesus is because of man's fallen nature, and that was something that was talked about. It was designed into the idea that man is a fallen creature, was designed into the Constitution. They tried to use the perverse nature of mankind, the ambition, to counter that in each other. You know, that was the design of the Constitution.
Absolutely, and then they recognized that that was the fault of man, that we had inherent faults in us because of the fall, and that those needed to be redeemed, and that we needed to have some form of civil government. As the scripture says in Romans 13, 1 through 7, there is a biblical form of government that needs to be exercised and had. Mm-hmm. But it was recognized by the founders as a fault. But now it's celebrated. The sinful degradation of man is now being celebrated in that every perversion, every falsity, every embracing of anti-scriptural or anti-Christian, anti-Christ understanding is now thrown out as being the virtue of man rather than a vice of man, and something to be celebrated and appreciated rather than something to be mortified and destroyed through redemption.
You're absolutely right. And you look at what they teach in schools. Well, they teach we're all basically good. No, we're not. That's exactly the opposite of what the founders believe. You know, if they believe that we're all basically good and government is there and government is completely good, the founders didn't trust government. They didn't trust human nature. And yet we're being told in our secular humanism that's being taught in the schools, that is the religion, make no mistake about it, that man is basically good, that government can be trusted. Just, you know, surrender everything to them and they'll take care of you. You know, you don't have to worry about that.
Absolutely. And not only are we being told that, but we're also being told that we are animals, that we're just evolved animals. And the attempt to capture evolution through eugenics or through transhumanism, this idea that man is the ultimate God, that we ourselves are God, is a complete misunderstanding. And we're told that, as I said just a moment ago, we're told that we are animals. We're told that essentially there is no purpose, that there is no afterlife. So there's nothing to which we should tether our morality, because it's all at the end of it all, we're all going to die anyway. So there's really no necessary reason for us to better ourselves when it comes to morality. And you mentioned
this is something we know exactly where this is going to head. I mean, we have seen societies go down this road time and time again. Typically, the Marxist societies, and so there's absolutely no doubt where this is going to head. I absolutely very well said, Aaron. Thank you so much. I've got to move on because we've got a lot of people who have called to chime in. Thank you so much, Aaron, in Kentucky. Let's go next to Chris in Arizona. Go ahead, Chris.
Hi, David. Thanks for taking my call. I love your show.
Thank you. Yeah, we got a little bit of feedback there, I think. If you got your radio there, turn it down.
I'm outside working. I don't know. Maybe it won't work.
Okay.
I was calling. I tried to call last week, by the way, while Harrison was in, suggest that maybe you guys should do have a preacher on a Sunday before the Alex Jones show. But anyway, I was calling what you said about Steve Pachenik, and you know, there is another CIA officer named Lieutenant Colonel Michael Aquino, who's involved in the or was very peripheral to the Presidio child abuse scandal.
Yeah, I've spoken about him many times. Guys, Google Michael Aquino, and you can see the pictures of him when he went on Oprah Winfrey dressed up. He looks like a grown-up Eddie Munster. I mean, this guy was in costume, and he worked for the NSA, a very high-ranking officer for the NSA. Go ahead.
And he wrote a book called InfoWar.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You know, I think maybe we need to talk about this guy more. Where is he now? What's he doing? And what really went on with that Presidio scandal? And I agree with you about people like Pachinik. I'm always wary of people like that. I'm wary of everybody, but especially people like that.
Somebody who's worked undercover like that for a long time. Yeah, we go back to Michael Aquino. At the Presidio, what you're talking about is you had a guy who was a chaplain there, and there was a child. I don't know if he was related to the chaplain or what, but he said, took me back into his a room that was painted all black and molested me or something like that. That was the allegation against Aquino. And they went to his site. This pastor was very disturbed about that, and he reported it. And they went to his house, and yes, in fact, he did have a room that was painted black. Nothing was done, however. He was shipped somewhere else. And this is a guy who openly went on Oprah Winfrey dressed up. You guys didn't find the picture of that. But, I mean, he's got, you know, a costume on, everything. He established the Temple of Set, which is another one of these satanic churches there. Another guy who's high up in the NSA. And as you pointed out, he wrote a book called The Information War. He also talked about the use of extremely low frequency to manipulate people at a subconscious level, which should, there's a picture of him as he was parading around on Oprah Winfrey. I mean, it's absolutely amazing to see the connection between the establishment elite, between pedophilia, between the satanic organizations, between Hollywood, the elite of Hollywood, and how these people continually get away with it. And then to also look at the fact that, you know, he's talking about using electromagnetic frequency, extremely low frequencies, to manipulate people behaviorally. We should be very, very concerned about the way that we are being manipulated, not only to take away our privacy with 5G, but also the other health effects and psychological effects that this electromagnetic radiation can have on us. Of course, that's at the other end of the frequency spectrum, what we're talking about with 5G, but still, same type of thing nevertheless. Let's go to Mark in North Carolina. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, David. Dave, listen.
Yes, yes.
What Trump needs to do, now I don't know if he has the balls to do it or the intelligence, but take an example from Ike and from LBJ when they used the 101st and 82nd Airborne to enforce the, you know, to enforce school desegregation in Arkansas and the rights of people to march in Selma as in Virginia. Okay, this is what they're threatening to use the National Guard. Well, first of all, Trump can federalize the National Guard and stop it right there. But if he doesn't do that, or if they defy him on that, all he needs to do is send in 101st or 82nd, and that'll stop it right there. Use the military at least to defend this country and its constitution, not to defile it by stealing other people's oil. Listen, he has every right to do that. He has every right to do that.
It is a civil rights issue, and it is something, like you're pointing out, you know, it can go the other way. We talk about this all the time. When the federal government intrudes on our liberties, we ought to use our powers at the local level to do it. Well, it can go the other way as well, and it should go the other way. If you're going to have local state government, it's going to take away our civil liberties, and that's what we're talking about here. These are civil liberties issues, fundamental civil liberty issues. You ought to have the federal government also step in and do something about it, as they ought to do. As Trump ought to do at the border. He has the authority and the duty to protect our border with the military. Thank you so much, callers. That's all the time we've got.